Our gospel lesson is taken from the 24th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke, verses 1 through 12. We're led by God's Holy Spirit. Luke wrote these words of God, these wonderful gospel words, these words of life. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Gracious Holy Spirit of the living God, we do pray that you would fall afresh on us, that these words might not be to us an idle tale, but rather what they are in truth, the good news of our salvation in him who is the resurrection and the life, Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen. In his famous Easter sermon, which he preached around the year 160, a preacher by the name of Melito of Sardis was what we might call jazzed up. He was on fire about the Easter message. He had a pep in his step because he was so excited about Easter. This is what he said about Jesus. He rose from the dead and mounted up to the heights of heaven. When the Lord had clothed himself with humanity and had suffered for the sake of the sufferer, and had been bound for the sake of the imprisoned, and had been judged for the sake of the condemned, and buried for the sake of the one who was buried, he rose from the dead. And through his resurrection, cried with a loud voice, "Who is he that contends with me? Let him stand in opposition to me. I set the condemned man free. I gave the dead man life. I raised up the one who had been entombed. Who is my opponent? I," he says, "am the Christ. I am the one who destroys death and triumphed over the enemy and trampled Hades underfoot and bound the strong one and carried off man to the heights of heaven. I," he says, "am the Christ." As we can hear in the words of Melito and in the words of the hymns that we sing today, and in the sound of the voices that sing them, Christians get excited about Easter. Why does it mean so much to us? Two words come to mind. The substance of them is in Melito's sermon and in God's word and in the songs of our triumphant day. Those words are vindication and victory. Let's consider them together on this triumphant day. In the first place, vindication. Easter Sunday, or what the two men, the two angels, as John tells us, in dazzling apparel, quoting Jesus' own words, called the third day, on Easter Day, the third day. It is about vindication. The vindication of Jesus' claims to be the long-promised Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son, the eternal Son of the living God in the flesh, who came to seek and to save us. Jesus repeatedly made claims to that effect. He performed many miracles to validate those claims. He incarnated God's character, his goodness, his holiness, his love. In an unparalleled way, to demonstrate those claims, he gathered followers who believed those claims, but he was opposed by religious experts, so-called, who disputed those claims. And as the 3 years of Jesus' public ministry unfolded, the question that had to be answered was, who was right? Who was telling the truth? Was it Jesus? Or was it the religious leaders who opposed him? In response to his claims and his miracles and his love, the Jewish authorities, consumed with envy, called him a blasphemer and had him put to death. And as he was being crucified, they continued to mock him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Well, Jesus, as you know, did not come down from the cross. He died on the cross. And he was buried in a tomb where he remained through the Jewish Sabbath day. And it appeared that the religious rulers had been right and Jesus had been wrong. More than that, it appeared that they had been the righteous ones, and that Jesus was exactly what they had called him, a liar, a false teacher leading people astray, a blasphemer deserving death. He had gotten what he had coming. That was Friday. And Saturday. But Sunday was coming. On Sunday, Jesus rose up from the grave, just as he promised he would. He is no liar. He is no false teacher. He is no blasphemer. He is the Son of the living God, the love of God incarnate, the only Savior of sinners. The resurrection vindicated him as such. In one of the earliest hymns to Christ, quoted in 1 Timothy 3:16, the early church rejoiced in the truth of Easter, saying, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the one who saves us and restores us to God. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory." When was Jesus vindicated by the Spirit? When he was raised from the dead. Through the resurrection, by the power of the Spirit, the Father affirmed all of Jesus' claims to be his Son. St. Paul described it in this way in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Jesus was declared, he was shown to be, he was demonstrated to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Easter is a vindication of Jesus' claims to be the Son of God. The resurrection proves that Jesus is no ordinary man, and he certainly is no liar or blasphemer. He is the Son of God in the flesh, the only Savior of sinners. The resurrection proves that Jesus was telling the truth when he said, "I am," and there he's claiming divinity. He's claiming to be the one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush, the great I am, Yahweh in the flesh. "I am," he said, "the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When he claimed that exclusivity, when he claimed that uniqueness, and yet to be God's gracious provision to the world for salvation, the resurrection proved him to be the truth. The resurrection proved him to be true when he said, "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And when he declared from the cross, "It is finished," borrowing the language of Psalm 22, the end of that psalm of the cross, he said, "It is finished." In other words, all that my Father gave me to do, I have accomplished. The debt of sin has been paid in full. And all who believe in me shall not perish because of their sin. I am perishing because of their sin. I am taking hell on myself for them. They will have no more debt, no more condemnation, only God's forgiveness and love and life forever through faith in me. That's what he was claiming when he said on the cross, "This is no ordinary death. This is a saving death, an atoning death." That's what he meant when he said, "It is finished." And when God raised him from the dead by the power of his Spirit, God the Father was saying, "Amen. What my Son said on the cross is true. What the religious leaders were saying was false. All that my Son said was true. And what I said at his baptism was true. He is my beloved Son. I was pleased with him at his baptism, and I was pleased with him for what he accomplished on the cross. And his being raised from the dead proves that I accepted the sacrifice that he made on behalf of sinners." So first, vindication. And second, victory. Victory, first and foremost, over the devil. That's what this was about. Remember the first gospel proclamation? Long before Melito of Sardis gave his rousing Easter sermon, God himself preached the gospel. To whom did he preach it? The serpent of old. Genesis 3:15. He promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He told him exactly what was going to happen. And all of human history is the unfolding and the accomplishment of that promise in Jesus, the seed of the woman. That's what human history is all about. The crushing of the head of the serpent by the seed of the woman. That's what Easter is all about. The victory of Jesus over our enemy, the devil. As 1 John 3:8 put it, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. That's why he suffered. That's why he was raised victoriously from the dead. On Good Friday, when darkness covered the land and Jesus breathed his last, and his lifeless body was laid in the tomb, it appeared the devil had won. It appeared that life had been swallowed up by death, that darkness had been overcome, had overcome the light, that hate had conquered love. But Easter morning showed that appearances can be deceiving. The true victor was Christ. And his victory belongs to all who trust in him. Victory over Satan's power, over Satan's dominion in your life. Victory over sin. The believer is united to Christ. In the death he died on the cross on Good Friday, in his burial in the tomb, and in his resurrection on Easter morn, you have been crucified with Christ. And you've been raised to newness of life in Christ. The old you was crucified and buried with Christ. The new you, the new creation that you are, in Christ, was raised up from the dead. That's your identity. You're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. You're alive in Christ. And you're more than a conqueror through him over sin. Victory over Satan, victory over sin, victory over the emptiness of life in a fallen world apart from God. The great Christian philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal said, "We all have a God-shaped vacuum in our soul that only God can fill." Because the tomb is empty, dear friend, your soul doesn't have to be. Through faith in Christ, God himself will inhabit your soul and give you meaning and purpose and hope and joy and victory. Victory over death and the grave. By believing in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead will raise your mortal body from the grave as well. God loves your body as well as your soul. That's why the Son became human, was to redeem us, body and soul, indeed to redeem the whole creation and make all things new. Easter is the commencement of that renewal of all things. So I ask you, is that victory yours today through faith in the victorious Jesus? When the women told the apostles, don't miss that, when they told the apostles, these 11 who were chosen by Christ to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives. Apostle means one who is sent. The Father said, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. These are the sent ones of Jesus. When the women told the apostles about the empty tomb and what the angels had said, it seemed to them an idle tale. The phrase idle tale here is a translation of a Greek word. It's the only place in the New Testament that I know of where this word is used. It's a very unique word. It's almost like a funny word. Like we would use words like nonsense or crazy talk. And if you look up synonyms for that, hooey, mumbo jumbo. It seemed to them, what these women were saying to them seemed to be hooey, baloney, mumbo jumbo. Don't you love how the Bible is so honest about the followers of Jesus? These apostles, they didn't try to hide their flaws and failures. They were honest. We're not the hero of this story. Jesus is. It seemed to them the Easter good news. It seemed to them at first an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter and all the rest came to believe the women. For Christ appeared to them. The resurrected Christ appeared to them. And through the power of the Spirit, those same apostles became bold witnesses about the resurrected Christ. May the good news of Easter be no idle tale for you. May it be for you what it is in truth, the very power of God to save you. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. May you believe, may you trust in the risen Christ. May you live more and more in the power, the resurrection power of Christ. We are, don't forget this, we are an Easter people. We are an Easter people. We live not in our own strength. We live not in confusion and despair and hopelessness. We live not dead in our trespasses and sins. We as Christians live as an Easter people, alive to God in Christ. And may you witness, as those apostles went on to witness by the power of the Holy Spirit, may you and I, may Ballantyne Presbyterian Church grow in being a witness to the truth of Christ's resurrection by our joy in him and our love towards others. Melito finished his sermon this way. Jesus says to you on this Easter day, come then, all you nations of men, receive forgiveness for the sins that defile you. I am your forgiveness, says Jesus. I am the Passover that brings you salvation. I am the Lamb who was sacrificed for you. I am your ransom, your life, your resurrection, your light. I am your salvation. I am your King. I will bring you to the heights of heaven. With my own right hand, I will raise you up. I will show you the eternal heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.